Good morning. Welcome, if you're visiting. My name's Paul. I'm the vicar here. And we're going to spend the next few moments thinking about why, or trying to answer the question, why is it good to call God Father? So let's pray as we begin. Our Father, we have heard in your word that in Christ, believers have every spiritual blessing. Father, we simply ask that your Spirit would open the eyes of our hearts to understand more just how blessed we are in Christ, knowing you as our Father. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Steve has teed me up in about four different ways in the service so far in terms of what I might say. Some of them bear some resemblance to what I'm about to say, so you'll take your pick. Why is it good to call God Father? Christians have always called God Father, and that's what Jesus teaches us to call him. That's the one detail of the Lord's Prayer that we're going to look at. The disciples ask, they say, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father. Christians have always called God Father, and Jesus teaches us to call him Father. So what is the Christian life like? In all its ups and downs? Well, at base level, it is about having our Father in heaven. Now, being taught to call God Father will evoke lots of different responses. Just the word Father might bring joy to you. It might bring ideas of absence if your father is still alive, or a greater loss if your father has left this world. It might bring ideas of fear. It might bring ideas of rejection. On the other hand, you may be remembering the encouragement of a father. So it's important that we get this the right way round. We mustn't let our earthly experiences of fatherhood determine what we think of God as our heavenly Father. We must let the creator of fatherhood, who created fatherhood for us here on earth, we must let him tell us about his eternal fatherhood. It's from him, if you'd read a little bit further on in Ephesians, we'd read that it is from him that all fatherhood derives its name. So fathers on earth are supposed to reflect the Father in heaven. And of course, as I look at my children, we don't always, if ever, do that well. So whereas our experience of earthly fathers will evoke a very mixed bag of emotions, both comforting and painful, what is it like to know God as Father? Or as we began, why is it good to call God Father? Now, the Christian message, the gospel, teaches us that God becomes our Father when we trust in Jesus. Relationship with God as Father is not a given. Now, earthly fathers' failure to reflect God in the world is just one of the symptoms of a universal refusal on the part of mankind to live God's way. Now that leaves the relationship with God broken. And Jesus' message is that from that brokenness, God becomes our fully reconciled Father when we trust in Jesus, when we rely on Him. This faith, this trust, this reliance is the call of the gospel. Jesus says, come, trust me, believe in me. And that is Jesus' call to his broken world still. That as we trust in him, from that brokenness of relationship with God, we find ourselves fully reconciled to the Father in heaven. Now, this saving trust, if you like, this trust must be in Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who reveals who God is. He is the trustworthy light in the world. If you want to know God, you can't avoid Jesus. He's the one who reveals who God is. He's also the one who rescues us from our rejection of God. You've heard already today the language of cosmic treason. Powerful language expressing what it means to ignore the God of heaven and earth. Treason punishable by death. That death born by the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. Born for us. So Jesus reveals and Jesus rescues from our rejection of God. That's what we've been hearing over these last 3 or 4 weeks as we've been tracing out on a Sunday morning the content of the Essentials course, one of the courses we use to help people to discover the truth of the good news. That's what we've had the last 3 weeks. Jesus reveals. We discovered something of our rejection and that Jesus rescues. And it is as God's king, we're told, that Jesus does this. What a perfect kind of king and leader. The one who tells us what's what, so we're not confused. And the one who rescues us from everything that endangers us. Our great king, God's appointed king. And the course makes a brilliant point about the Lord Jesus, speaking of him as king. When we trust in Christ, it's not to be the kind of trust we might have in a consultant, some sort of spiritual consultant, who might set out some options for us or ask which course of spiritual treatment we might actually prefer. A kind of consultant who would offer advice and suggestions. No, to come to the one who alone reveals God and alone rescues people from their sin, we come not to him as consultant, but we must come to him as king. See, that means that our future, as those who trust Christ, our future is not fundamentally made up of choices in the light of his advice. Our future is fundamentally made up of our obedience in the light of his commands. We come to him as God's appointed king. That is the personal commitment which counts. Personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And God becomes our Father when we trust Jesus like that. The King who reveals, rescues, and commands. That is the personal commitment in Jesus which unites us with Jesus. Our faith, our trust, our reliance on Jesus has been likened to the umbilical cord between the mother and the baby. That which connects us to him. We are united to Christ by faith. And therefore, because of our faith union in the revealer and the rescuer, and because he is the Son of God, and he calls God Father, as those united with him, as those who stand with him, or rather, as he stands with us, we may call the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ our Father too. See, the revealing and the rescuing is ultimately about relationship with Jesus, our King, and because he is the Father's Son, and we are united with him, not just with Jesus, our King, but necessarily with his Father, who is our Father. So that's when God becomes our Father. Before that, we're estranged in our cosmic treason and our rejection. When we put our trust in his Son, when we are personally committed to Jesus. So the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is our Father too. So what are the benefits of having God as Father in that way? Why is it good? Three reasons: security, transformation, and inheritance. Security, transformation, and inheritance. Firstly, security. Security in his family. And we don't become a temporary resident in the Father's family as we trust Christ. We're not somebody who's passing through, nor are we made to sort of shack up in a tent in the back garden as though somebody who doesn't really belong to the household, a slave or something. No, security in his family. We are in God's household because we are united with his Son, and we have been adopted as sons in his family. This is a secure relationship. I think we understand something of this as parents, and I hope as children that we appreciate it too. Because as children, and we've all been children, we do make mistakes. That's true. But we hope, don't we, that our mistakes don't jeopardize our place in the family. That we're not finally rejected by the parent who is, what should we say, a little frustrated. See, rejection may have been one of those words that came to your mind when we first talked about fatherhood earlier. Well, not so with our Father in heaven. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I know my sheep." That is, he knows his people, those who are personally committed to him. "I know my people, they follow me." And then Jesus says, "No one can snatch them out of my hand." There is that unbreakable faith union with Jesus. Jesus promises that those who trust him, no one can snatch out of his hand. But then he goes on to say, just a verse or two later, "My Father has given them to me, and he is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Because to snatch them out of the Father's hand, well, it's like snatching Jesus out of the Father's hand, because Jesus has got hold of us. No one can snatch Jesus out of the Father's hand. And if Jesus has hold of us, then no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand either. There is absolute security in God's family, our unbreakable relationship with God, our Father. God becomes our Father when we trust his Son, and he will always be our Father. Never to be rejected, never lost, never absent. Whatever we might do, even our sins to come, Christ has rescued us already. In him we are and always will be children of the Father. What's it like living the Christian life in all its ups and downs? Well, it's like being secure in the Father's hand. Security, transformation. We should expect change. If we come to our King as commander, the one who's rescued us from rejection of God, well, his commands lead us to walk in the way we always should have. Not in the ways of rejection and ignoring God, but his commands, as we come to him, his commands will lead us to walk in the way we always should have done. So we can't possibly come under the command of this king and not be transformed. Now, Jesus, of course, is the perfect likeness of God. And so personally committing ourselves to him and his way will mean growing in that likeness. So with God as our Father, you can't have Christ as your King without God as your Father. With God as our Father, then we will change. We will be transformed into that family likeness, the likeness which the Son bears of the Father. As sons of the Father, we will become like the Son of the Father, and the Son is the true likeness of the Father. This is our Father's will for us, for our natural self-centeredness to become servanthood, for our confusion in the dark to become walking in the light. As a Father, he trains, leads, and shapes us as we join with his Son. Sometimes he disciplines us for our good, never compromising our security in the family, but always lovingly nurturing us into what we're made to be. Children bearing the image and likeness of the Father. What's it like to live this life? What's it like to be a Christian in all the ups and downs of life, in every circumstance and event, whether it brings joy or sadness? If you're wondering what direction your Christian life is taking, this is the direction that it is taking. God is transforming us as we come to his Son as our commander. Security, transformation. And all this brings us to our inheritance. Secure from the very beginning, transformed all the way along until we come to our inheritance. Because we're sons, we have the full rights of sons. And sons inherit. Now that's why the New Testament keeps the language of son and not daughters. Not because we're all going to be male as redeemed people in Christ, not at all. But the New Testament wants us to know that we will all inherit. And so it calls us sons, and it says we have the full rights of sons. It's promising our inheritance to us, that every follower of Jesus will inherit. Well, what is this glorious inheritance of the saints? What is this inheritance that the Father has for us? Well, in the end, it's God himself. To be with God in his unabridged presence for eternity. And if you know your Bibles well, you remember that this was the promise way back to Abraham. In Genesis 15, God said to Abraham, "Abraham, I am your very great reward." Just as Christ, after his struggle here on earth, now risen, sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Just as Christ rules over all things in all glory. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of God's Christ. And so in him, we too will reign. We will enter our inheritance with God forever. Why is it good to call God Father? Well, that fatherhood only comes through personal confidence in Jesus. And it means that we have a Father to whom we belong securely. We bear his image more and more. Everything that frustrates us about ourselves and is wrong with the world, we are being transformed to be like God. And the inheritance is ours, to be with God and rule with him. Now, by personally committing to Jesus, you'll have noticed as we've gone through so far, we're caught up into the relationship between the Son and the Father. It's by our union with Christ that the Father becomes our Father. But you'll also know, I do hope, that God is not just two persons. Our God, that relationship between the Son and the Father, into which we're caught up when we trust Christ, our God is not an eternal relationship of love between two. God is an eternal relationship of love between three: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in the same way that if you come and trust in the Son, you're inevitably caught up in the relationship with the Father, we must, in fact, also be caught up in the relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that is true. God, the Holy Spirit, brings to effect all these things that we have talked about so far, of trusting the Son and knowing the Father. God himself, by his Spirit, effects and empowers the relationship. You can have references to all these things later. I haven't given them to you. It is the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes to see and to discern spiritual things. It's the Holy Spirit who causes us to see that Christ is the King of glory. It is the Spirit who opens our eyes to see that Christ is the revealer and our rescuer. It's the Spirit who opens our hearts to obey him, not as a consultant or one amongst many, but to obey him as our unique commander, the King of glory. It is the Spirit who causes us, knowing Christ as King, knowing that we're united with him, who causes us to cry, "Abba, Father," to the one who is his Father and ours. Just as the Son offers himself to the Father by the Spirit, so the Spirit causes us, as sons of God, to call our God Father. Now, you might have been listening and you think, well, to be honest, I'm struggling to recognize that Christ is King. I'm struggling to be pleased that God is my Father. Well, then pray that the Spirit will open the eyes of your heart to these spiritual realities. Listen to what Jesus said. I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Here's the contrast between evil earthly fathers and our heavenly Father. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, even you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your good Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Struggling to recognize Jesus as King? Struggling to rejoice in God as Father? Struggling to be confident that you will never be cast out of the Father's hand? Well, then pray for the Spirit's assuring work. Struggling with temptation? Struggling to obey the commands? Well, pray by the power of the Spirit you'll be transformed into the family likeness. Struggling to comprehend that you genuinely do, as a truster of Jesus, that you genuinely do have this inheritance waiting for you? Well, so it is the Spirit who is the down payment guaranteeing our inheritance. Our inheritance is God himself. To live in loving relationship with him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever. Our inheritance is God himself, and so ahead of time, God gives you himself, the Holy Spirit, as a deposit guaranteeing that full inheritance. God gives us his Holy Spirit so we do know Christ as King, so we do know the Father as our Father, that we are sure that we are secure. That we have help in being transformed. And that the full inheritance of knowing and living with God forever will be ours because his Spirit has already been given to us in our hearts. This leads to a life of faith, love, and hope. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, secure with our Father. A life of love, because we become more like God. We grow in godliness. We grow in the family likeness. A life of hope, because we are sure of our inheritance. See, Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father. Knowing God as Father is not about absence or sadness or rejection, but about acceptance, relationship, joy, grace, mercy, because we don't deserve this, and love. His love for us in reaching out to us, and ours in return to him. Well, fathers, if you can treat your children this way, do. Trouble is, we can't. But God treats all who have faith in Christ exactly this way forever. It is good to call God Father. What is the Christian life like? Well, the Christian life is as messy and as awkward and as troublesome and as full of suffering and as difficult as any other kind of life in the fallen world in which we live. But over and behind all that, if we've personally committed to Jesus, we know God as Father, and God has come to us himself by the Spirit. You see, this revelation and rescue is all about relationship. And that puts an entirely different shape on our experiences in this fallen world. Security, transformation, and inheritance are ours. I think this is a no-brainer. You may want to turn to this God. Well, is he calling you? Don't ignore that call. Trust Christ, know the Father, be full of the Spirit. You may want to grow in your existing relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is a challenge. Or keep your eyes on Jesus and his message. He establishes you with the Father. His Spirit works in you. Ask God to make you grow, to keep you on the road of security transformation towards your inheritance. The reason we've done these four sermon series through the essentials is to give you some idea what it is that people will hear on that course. To help you see that you can afford to come. To help you to see that you can afford to invite other people to come. So that when they pray, they might say, "My Father in heaven, in Christ, by the Spirit." That's not the real reason we've done these four. It is useful to know that you can confidently invite your friends to evangelistic courses. You know what they're going to hear. You can come with them and you're not going to be embarrassed by what's presented. But we've really done this so that we might grow as children of God. Let's pray together. Praise be to you, our God and Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for you have blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We call you Father. You have marked us with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And we pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. Father, we pray that we may be people who know God and live like it. In Jesus' name, amen.